Well, please take your Bibles and turn with me now to the book of Matthew, chapter 3. We're going to be in verses 13 to 17 this morning. We're taking a couple of weeks, really on the theme of baptism. The theme of baptism, especially where we have our baptism class today. We have a baptism Sunday coming up in a couple of weeks. And so we wanted to just take some time to talk about baptism together as a church. Last week, we looked at John the Baptist and his message and preparation for Jesus. Today, we're going to pick up right where we left off in Matthew 3 as we look at Jesus's baptism and what that means for us today. So we're in Matthew 3, verses 13 to 17. Will you stand with me for the reading of God's word? Matthew 3, beginning at verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." And then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear God, speak to us now through your word, through these verses and other passages we may look at this morning. Be glorified through your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So we'll start with a question this morning. What do you need? What do you need in life? What do you need? You know, there are basic needs, of course, food, clothing, and shelter. You might also say, well, I need friends. I need community. Some of you need work, while others of you would say you need a vacation. Isn't it funny how that works on both extremes at times? You know, we all have various needs in life, but there's one thing we all need. We all need. Doesn't matter who you are, where you live, doesn't matter your position or station in life, we all need Jesus. We all need Jesus. Whatever else is going on in your life, I can tell you with confidence this morning, you need Jesus. You need Jesus in your life to save you, to help you, to guide you. And so as we look at Jesus's baptism this morning, I want you to see three applications from our passage today. Number one, first of all, simply to recognize your need for Jesus. Number two, trust what Jesus says. And then number three, to see the beauty of who Jesus is. All three of those are in the outline that's in your worship guide if you want to take that out at this time to follow along and maybe jot down some notes. So but to begin with, first of all, recognize your need for Jesus. We're making this personal right from the start today, aren't we? Recognize your need for Jesus. Let's go back to our passage now, verses 13 and 14. Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Now, if you go back to the beginning of this chapter, verse 1, Matthew 3, 1 tells us that John came. Now, we're in verse 13, and we read that Jesus came. Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan, specifically to be baptized by John. Now, the Jordan was about 30 miles from Nazareth, where Jesus lived, so this was an all-day trip by foot. Jesus came a long way for a definite purpose. He came to the Jordan to submit to John in baptism. But as we just read, when Jesus came to John, John tried to stop him. He said, "This is all backwards. I need to be baptized by you. Why are you coming to me?" John was confused. For one thing, John knew Jesus. They were cousins. They would have known each other growing up and family gatherings. John would have known all about Jesus' miraculous birth. He probably had a good idea that this was the one to come. John had already told people he was not worthy to carry this person's sandals. And now Jesus shows up here at the Jordan River to be baptized by John. Didn't make any sense. John knew that he needed Jesus. When he said those words, I need to be baptized by you, those first words, that first phrase are literally, I have a need. That's what John was saying. I have a need, and that need is, I have a need to be baptized by you. You see, John knew that Jesus was coming to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And even though John had been filled with the Holy Spirit from birth, he knew that he still needed this baptism from Jesus. John knew that his own baptism was just preparing people for Jesus, but when Jesus came, he was bringing the real thing. So John tries to stop him. I need to be baptized by you, Jesus. Why are you coming to me? John recognized his need for Jesus. And we need Jesus too. We need to recognize our need for Christ. John said Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit. That means that Jesus would give new life to all who put their faith in him. When you put your faith in Jesus, God forgives you of all your sins, and Jesus gives you new life through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit cleanses you. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. And this baptism, this cleansing by the Holy Spirit, brings you into the body of Christ and seals your place in God's family. You cannot be saved without Jesus and without the Holy Spirit. And so, like John, we should come to Jesus saying, Jesus, I need to be baptized by you. I need to be forgiven by you. I need to be cleansed by you. I need to be saved by you. I need the gift of the Holy Spirit in my life, without which I can never be saved, without which I can never be a part of the family of God. John the Baptist knew that he needed Jesus. You need to recognize your need for Jesus too. And then secondly, you need to trust what Jesus says. Trust what Jesus says. When John tried to stop Jesus from being baptized, what did Jesus say? Jesus replied, let it be. Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. Now, if you're a fan of the Disney film Frozen, you may be interested to know that when Jesus tells John here, let it be, another way you can actually translate that, I mean, in the original Greek, this is what it says. Some of you, you're getting there ahead of me, right? You know, you can translate this, let it go. Let it go. When John says, I can't baptize you, you should be baptizing me. Jesus replies, John, let it go. I don't think he's saying it, but, you know, let it go. Let it go for now. You know, Jesus had a specific purpose for this baptism right now. Things would be different later, but for right now, Jesus said, this is the proper thing to do. So it raises the question, why? Right? Why did Jesus get baptized? I mean, just last week, we saw that John's baptism was a baptism of repentance for sin. But Jesus didn't have any sin. Jesus had no sin to repent of. So why would Jesus come to the Jordan to be baptized by John? And there are at least three reasons Jesus chose to be baptized. They're all in your outline, but let me step you through them one by one. First of all, Jesus was baptized to identify with us. To identify with us. Paul writes in the book of Romans that Jesus came in the likeness of sinful man. Doesn't mean that he had any sin of his own, but rather he came in our likeness. He came with a true human body that was subject to temptation and weakness like anyone else. Peter tells us that Jesus came to bear our sins in his own body. The book of 2 Corinthians makes this identification even stronger. Paul writes, God made him who had no sin, that's Jesus, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so even though Christ had no sin of his own to confess, he was baptized as a testimony that he would identify with us so strongly that he would take our sins upon himself at the cross. That's what Jesus was doing at the cross. Jesus wasn't baptized because he was a sinner. He was baptized because we were. We were sinners. You know, when John prepared the way for Jesus, he put a warning out there. We saw this last week also. He warned of a powerful person who is coming with judgment of great fire. And now instead, Jesus shows up at the river to be baptized. You know, that day of judgment, it's still coming, okay? John wasn't wrong about that. But for now, Jesus was baptized to identify with sinners, not to punish sinners. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And that leads us to the second reason why Jesus was baptized. Secondly, Jesus was baptized to demonstrate his mission to us. Jesus did not come to earth to condemn, but rather to identify with us, to give his life as a ransom for us. Jesus would later refer to his death on the cross as his real baptism. That was the real baptism, was when Jesus died on the cross. And so through his baptism in the Jordan, under John, in our passage today, Jesus was demonstrating his unwavering commitment to follow through on his mission, to die on the cross for our sins, and to rise again from the dead. Death and resurrection. And you know, death and resurrection are both beautifully represented in the act of baptism. When a person goes under the water, it's a picture of death and burial. When the person comes out of the water, it's a picture of resurrection and new life. The book of Romans puts it this way: we were therefore buried with him, with Christ, through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And this leads us to the third reason Jesus was baptized. He was baptized as an example for us. Just as Jesus identified with us in his baptism, so he calls us to identify with him in our baptism. And when we are baptized in Jesus' name, we are giving testimony to our faith in Jesus Christ, that we've died to our old selves, that we've been given new life through Christ, that we've been united with Christ in his death and his resurrection. And we demonstrate that through our public baptism. And just as our baptism is a public testimony of faith, Jesus' baptism was his public testimony. It was his testimony that he identified with our sins, that he would die on the cross for our sins. In effect, Jesus' baptism was his testimony that he had come as Savior. That's what his name actually means, Savior or salvation. As the angel told Joseph, you were to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So Jesus tells John here, he says, John, it's proper for us to do this. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Interesting phrase. On one level, that's talking about the fact that Jesus was simply being obedient to God's commands. He was fulfilling righteousness there. But on a deeper level, by submitting to baptism, Jesus showed that he was submitted to the cross. And it was at the cross that Jesus secured perfect righteousness for all who believe in him. He would fulfill all righteousness. You know, the Gospel of Matthew says Jesus was called Emmanuel at his birth, meaning God with us. But at Jesus' baptism, Jesus took it one step further. He not only identified with us as human beings, but he identified with us in our sin. Indeed, his baptism was a foreshadowing of that most sacred day, when he would so fully identify with us that he would take our sins upon his very self. Now you notice Jesus doesn't explain all this to John. That's way too much information for John at this point. We know it because these things have happened now and they've been written for our benefit. He doesn't explain this to John. He says, John, let's just do this. It's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And you know what? John agreed. He consented. He didn't understand it, but he trusted what Jesus said. Now, this is fun in the original language once again. The phrase Matthew uses here for John consented is the exact same phrase Jesus used when he said, let it be. Or as we just saw with our Frozen reference, let it go. So you can actually translate this whole conversation as follows. Jesus told John, John, let it go. And then what does Matthew say? John, let it go. You know, he consented. He trusted what Jesus said, even if he didn't understand it all. A lot of times in your life, Jesus is going to say things to you that you do not fully understand. And yet you need to trust what Jesus says. It might be something you're reading in the Bible. It might be something from his word. It might be in a time of prayer and God just impresses something upon your spirit. You don't fully understand it, but you got to trust. You need Jesus, and that means you need to trust him. Trust him always. So far we've looked at two applications from our text. Recognize your need for Jesus. I hope you're doing that this morning, that you understand that you need Jesus. Number two, trust what Jesus says. And then our final application, number three, see the beauty of who Jesus is. See the beauty of who Jesus is. First of all, see the beauty of Jesus's relationships in the Trinity. Now look at our next verses now, 16 and 17. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And here we see all three members of the Trinity represented, right? Jesus is in the water. The Holy Spirit descends like a dove. And God the Father speaks from heaven. All three members of the Trinity are present and active at the baptism of Jesus. Now, the Holy Spirit descending and remaining on Jesus, that was prophesied in the Old Testament. Isaiah prophesied of that. Isaiah 11, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots, a branch. That's speaking of Jesus. A branch will bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus at his baptism to anoint him for ministry. Later, when Jesus preached in the synagogue in Nazareth, he began by saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." Matthew tells us that the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove. Now, that's a symbol we're used to today, aren't we? You know, the dove is a symbol of purity, gentleness, and innocence. We're used to seeing the Holy Spirit represented as a dove. If you look right up here, there we go. The dove, right? Right there. You know, we're used to that. But you know, this is the only time in the entire Bible that we see the Holy Spirit represented as a dove. It's just here at Jesus' baptism. Here in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the three parallel passages describing Christ being baptized. So we see the Holy Spirit anointing Jesus in verse 16. And then we hear the Father's voice approving Jesus in verse 17. The voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well please." Remember, in being baptized, Jesus committed to go to the cross to die for our sins, and God the Father voiced his approval from heaven. Later, Jesus would say, "The reason my Father loves me is because I lay down my life." And so all three members of the Trinity are present at this baptismal scene, which takes place here at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And so in Jesus' baptism, we see the beauty of Jesus' relationships in the Trinity. But then we also see the beauty of Jesus' obedience to the Father. You know, there are only two times in Matthew's gospel that God speaks audibly from heaven. He does it here at Jesus' baptism, and then he'll do it later on at Jesus' transfiguration. What's interesting is both times he says the same thing. Both times he says, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. When God speaks these words, he affirms two things about Jesus. First, he affirms that Jesus is his son. That's remarkable. Jesus Christ was born into this world as a human being, and God is saying, "This is my son." And these words that God speaks at Jesus' baptism, they're a combination of actually three scripture passages from the Old Testament. The first is found in Genesis 22:2, where God told Abraham, "Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love." There's the love portion. Then we have Psalm 2:7, where God says to the Messiah, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And then Isaiah 42:1, where God says of his servant, speaking of Jesus, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight." So what is God saying in these words? That he spoke at Jesus' baptism, that he spoke again at Jesus' transfiguration? Well, let's look at Abraham. Just as Abraham was willing to sacrifice his only son Isaac for God, so God was willing to sacrifice his only son, Jesus, for us. And then in the Psalms, we learn that from what God says here, that Jesus is the Son of God, to whom God the Father testified in the Psalms. And then from Isaiah, we learn Jesus is also the suffering servant who lays down his life for God's people. And so first, God affirms Jesus is his son, but then he affirms also that he is completely pleased with Jesus. Completely pleased. He is pleased with the perfect life that Jesus lived in Nazareth all those years between his birth and his baptism. But God is especially pleased with Jesus' obedience in submitting to baptism in preparation for the cross, because it is immediately after Jesus is baptized that God chooses to speak. Remember, Jesus said, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life." And so at Jesus' baptism, we not only see the beauty of his relationships in the Trinity, we also see the beauty of his obedience to the Father. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus' ministry begins with his baptism in the Jordan, and his ministry ends with Jesus telling his disciples to go and baptize others. Right? We find Jesus' great commission, Matthew 28:19. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." In both cases, the Trinity is presented. The Trinity is presented visually at Jesus' baptism, and then the Trinity is presented verbally in Jesus' words at the Great Commission. Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of Matthew both begins and ends with baptism. And that tells us something, that baptism's real important. This is a real important part of the Christian life. And God commands all believers in Jesus Christ to be baptized as a sign of their faith. Just as Jesus identified with you in his baptism, God calls you to identify with Jesus through your baptism. So if you've never been baptized as a believer, I just want to encourage you this morning to be baptized. To be baptized in obedience to Jesus Christ and according to his example. Come to the baptism class today if you'd like. We've got room for you, and we'd love to explain baptism more fully to you. But the bottom line in all of this, just got three words for you this morning. You need Jesus. It's that simple. You need Jesus. So recognize your need for Christ. Trust what Jesus says. See the beauty of who Jesus is. He is the beloved Son of God who was baptized not because he was a sinner, but because you were. Amen? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word that teaches us, that encourages us, that helps us to understand these things. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, that they would pray to know you and then be baptized. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who's a believer and yet they've never been baptized, Lord, that they would seek to follow you in baptism. Lord, we want to follow your example. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.